Today is a great day because the lady in blue is going to be preaching today. Hi. You know, out of all the people in the world, you're my favorite. I just love you so much. And I'm so thankful for you, Dawn. I'm so proud of you. You're a prayer warrior. You're a precious mom. You love selflessly. I've never known anybody that seeks the Lord like you do. You are the epitome of a powerful praying mama. And we thank the Lord for you. Your life, listen, you live a life that I aspire. I want to be ultimately like Jesus, but I kind of measure my life because you walk so closely with the Lord. And it's real, and we see it. Amen. I want y'all to give the mother of the house and a great preacher. Give Pastor Donna, God bless you. Oh, come on, let's let her know we love her.
Thank you. I love each one of you in this place. And hey, it's an honor to serve Jesus, isn't it? So beautiful. I was on the phone with my father last night, and we were talking about that. How one of the most important times of prayer, moments we spend with the Lord, it's for intimacy with Him. That's what it's about. And the fact that we have the opportunity to know Him personally, feel His presence, know Him in our lives. It's so beautiful, so beautiful. But I just thank you all for that. Thank you, honey. That was precious. He likes to take people off guard when they come up here. Oh, my goodness. But I just want to take one more moment and just tell all the moms in the room, happy Mother's Day. We honor and appreciate all that you do. And there's many moms in here. There's moms, there's mother-in-laws, there's grandmas, we got stepmoms. Come on. We got every mom in here this morning, and we got aunts that are moms, and just so many. And you know, this morning I stand here as the first time that my mom is not on this earth. And so I even see those of you maybe who you've lost your mom this year, or maybe some moms who have lost children this year. We see you, and we recognize you today. We love you so much and just wish you the best day ever. Amen. All right. So we're going to jump into the Word this morning. You can turn with me and stay standing as we read the Word. It's just our custom here. But we're going to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. And I'm going to read a good portion of this scripture. It's a very familiar story, but the Lord led me here on purpose today. I believe I have a word for moms, but not just for moms, for the whole house. Somebody say the whole house. There's a word coming for you. Amen. So we're going to read verse 1. The Bible says this. It says, there was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah in the region of Zuph, in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jehoram, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to Peninnah and each of her children. And though he loved Hannah, he would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. Year after year, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would ask. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? Once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up and went to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord, and she made this vow. O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. As she was praying to the Lord, Eli watched her. Seeing her lips moving but hearing no sound, he thought she had been drinking. "Must you come here drunk?" he demanded. "Throw away your wine." "Oh, no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I am very discouraged, and I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I'm a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." In that case, Eli said, "Go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request you have asked of him." "Oh, thank you, sir," she exclaimed. Then she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. The entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once more. Then they returned home to Ramah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." Raise up your hands this morning and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that is coming forth into our hearts, into our lives today. I ask, Lord, for your anointing, that your anointing would fall on me to preach it and that it would fall on your people to hear it. Let it ignite within us today, God. We thank you for your word. I pray your blessing over everyone in the house this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. So we see in this text right here that Hannah's story, in the little bit of the background of what's going on there, it unfolds at one of the darkest transitional moments in Israel's history. The tabernacle was still standing, sacrifices were still being offered, and people were still going through the religious motions. But what was actually going on was the spiritual authority was declining very rapidly. The priesthood had become corrupt. Eli's sons were abusing holy things, and what should have been a place of real encounter had become a place of mixture, and it had become a place of spiritual decline. A nation was slowly losing their sensitivity to the voice of God. And I see this text and read this story, and I declare, as it was then, I believe we are one of in those same moments right now. And Hannah actually represents not just moms and women, but the church in the earth right now as we look at this story. Because you see, sitting in this same atmosphere of all that was going on behind the scenes, Hannah is sitting right there. A woman whose routine looked faithful, but whose inner posture had just been collapsing year after year. Because this is the truth. If you sit in heavy places too long, you can start bending under what surrounds you. Your posture can slowly deteriorate. But God had need of Hannah. Woo. And God has need of some people in the house today. He has need of some mothers in the house today. God has need of some fathers in the house today. Some teenagers in the house today. He's got need of some young adults in the house today. He's got need of some legacy adults in the house today. And I've got a word for you this morning that the Lord has put inside of me. And it's this: I declare there is a divine get up in your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said there is a divine get up in your spirit this morning. Somebody's going to leave this place with a divine getting up. Hallelujah. You know, if I could subtitle this message anything, I would call it this: a posture shift that changes everything. Whew. Somebody who believes God can change everything, why don't you give him a big ovation? celebration of praise this morning. Hallelujah, because that's what happened. Everything changed when Hannah got up, when she got up out of her despair, when she got up out of her depression, when she got up out of her doubt. Oh, hallelujah. And I hear the Spirit of the Lord releasing a divine get up in his church. Glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody just shout hallelujah. I'm getting up. I'm getting up. Woo! Hallelujah. You know, we've all faced them. There are seasons in our life where the enemy tries to convince us to stay down. And that's where Hannah was. 1 Samuel verse 7 there, it said, year after year, it was the same. Year after year, it was the same. Year after year, Hannah wept. Year after year, she's sitting in sorrow. Year after year, she is bent just under the pressure. She's in disappointment. She's bound up in grief. She's bound up in feeling like a failure and in doubt, you know, because we can understand her barrenness where we live today through a lens of like personal pain if we have not been able to bear a child. But in Hannah's time, infertility was so much more than that. In Hannah's day, it touched every area, almost every area of identity in their life. It caused social shame back then because children was it was the fruit of their womb. It was the covenant of God. He said, I will make you fruitful and multiply. It was their legacy. And so Hannah wasn't just in this time of personal pain, but social pain. She was in such places of weight coming upon her on every single side. And the Bible said year after year, year after year. Hannah didn't break in one day. Come on, it's not just one day that will get you in that place. That's what happens in life, right? It's a little disappointment over here. A little discouragement over there. A little neglect of prayer right here. A little more pressure that comes over here. A little less strength that we experience over there until one day you all of a sudden realize, I'm not standing like I used to stand. I'm not hearing like I used to hear. I'm not as strong. I don't have the fortitude. I don't have the faith that I used to have. But I came with a word for somebody in this house. There is a divine get up this morning. The Holy Spirit is releasing a divine get up in your spirit. Whew. Posture changes everything. This is why the Lord brought me to this text, because I have actually been dealing since last September with this whole pinched nerve thing in my shoulder. And, you know, I went and had all the things done that you have to do, the MRIs and all that stuff. And, you know, the answer for it is the correct posture. Because the chest needs to open up, the shoulders need to pull back to release this nerve that is damaged. And naturally speaking, proper posture opens the chest, it deepens the breath because it opens up the lungs, it increases your blood flow. Hey, correct posture strengthens the core. Do I have any physical therapists in the room today? It strengthens the core, it protects the spine, it stabilizes your movement, it relieves pressure, come on, in the natural, it changes the way you carry yourself. You know how they talk about that Wonder Woman stance? You know, she stands there and she looks so confident. You know, they say correct posture, it shows up, it causes you to show up different. It causes you to show up confident that in the natural realm. When the body realigns, everything shifts. And so the Lord, actually, I was meditating on all that as all that was coming to life to me. And the Lord said, this is the word for moms. Hallelujah. Because you see, spiritually, it's no different. When your posture changes before God, your faith opens up. Your worship begins to deepen. Your prayer strengthens. Your pain, it loses all authority. Your walk steadies. Come on, somebody. Your confidence returns. The pressure lifts off. What was compressed begins to breathe again when your posture gets corrected. Somebody say everything shifts with alignment. Oh, come on, do I have some saved, sanctified, praying people in the room, and you know what I'm talking about. Everything shifts when you get in proper alignment with God. And so here Hannah is in this place. She has been beat low. But the Bible says once after a sacrificial meal at Shiloh, Hannah got up. My God, you ought to just stop right there. And just cheer Hannah on. Come on. Because she got up. Tell your neighbor she got up. That might be one of those powerful phrases in this whole chapter. Because she had cried before. She had gone before. She had went through the rudimentary rituals before. She had wept before. She had endured it before. She had been mocked before. She had just sat in that pain before, but something happened this year. This year, it was different. This year, she got up. Somebody shout, she got up. Hallelujah. And you can have consistent, disciplined, religious motions and still need spiritual realignment. Woo, you know I'm telling the truth. You see, there is a difference between attending the house. You're sitting here today. There's a difference between just attending the house and getting up in the house. Some people come to church. Some people get up in church. Come on. Some people sit in an atmosphere like this, but others shift their posture in an atmosphere like this. So some endure another year. But then some people says this cycle ends right now. Come on. And this is what I declare over you moms and everyone in the house. I declare that this year it's going to be different because your posture is different. Hallelujah. And posture changes everything. Hallelujah. You see, throughout scripture, we always see posture revealing position. In the Bible, bowing reveals surrender. Standing reveals authority. Kneeling reveals dependence. Lifting hands reveals expectancy. Falling on your face, it reveals repentance. Come on, what about this when we're leaping? Woo! We're releasing and telling. We believe in the God of the breakthrough. Come on. Your posture tells heaven what you believe. Even Psalms 24 said, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Even standing in God's presence is connected to spiritual condition. Somebody say a posture shift. You see, Hannah's body had been low, but something in her spirit got up. Woo. I know life can make you low, mama. I know low from carrying children to carrying your home to carrying everybody else's needs. It can be low from waiting on what you've been believing for. It can come low from disappointments or comparison. But Hannah shows us in this text that you can be low in all of the external things that are going on around you and something on the inside of you get up. Woo. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And I want you to see something really powerful here about Hannah's name. You see, the name Hannah, it comes from the Hebrew word chana, and it means grace, favor, kindness bestowed by God. Isn't that powerful? Grace. You know, she looked barren in the natural realm, but her name carried grace. Her name carried favor. God had named her that before any of her circumstances called her barren. And I just come to let somebody know, never let your condition rename what God has already called you. Come on. Grace and favor. Hallelujah. I know some moms in this room have carried labels, certain labels, single mother or forgotten mother or worried mother or a grieving mother. But listen, God still calls you favored. He still calls you graced. He still calls you chosen. He still calls you his workmanship. He still calls you his daughter. You see here, the Bible says that Hannah had an adversary. Her name meant grace and favor, but she had this adversary named Penina. When I looked her name up, I was expecting it to have some kind of negative connotation, but Penina actually means pearl. I'm like, Lord, what's up with this? Her name means pearl. It means jewel. It means a precious stone. And that seems strange because she was tormenting Hannah. She was provoking her. But the truth is, sometimes what provokes you is what pushes you. Come on. Sometimes what provokes you is the best thing for you. And as I looked at that, I had to look up, well, how are pearls formed? And it was so powerful. Watch this. A pearl is formed in this way. An irritating substance, like a piece of grit or a piece of sand, enters into an oyster, prompting the animal to start protecting itself. It secretes this organic material known as nacre that encapsulates the irritant. Once the irritant has then been covered with enough layers of nacre, it's like the irritant never existed. And in the nuisance place, the pearl is formed. Whew. So what I'm trying to show you is that sometimes it's your penina that God uses to produce something special in you. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's that grit. Sometimes it's that irritating substance. Sometimes it's that piece of grit that actually is pressing on you and working for you and not against you. Somebody give God praise because it's working for you. Come on, I feel that. I feel somebody right now is getting delivered, and you just right now are turning every bit of complaint into thankfulness. In the name of Jesus, everything I thought that was working against me, trying to defeat me, Lord, I thank you right now. It's working for me. Come on, declare it. Declare it. It's working for me. I'm coming through this better. I'm coming out like a pearl. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Ooh, we see that all throughout scriptures. Joseph's brothers hated him. They threw him into a pit, you know. But all that pit did was push him to the palace. David had Goliath, but the giant just revealed him as the king that he was called to be. And Hannah had Penina, but Penina pushed her to the altar. Ooh, somebody say she got up. Even your antagonizer will become a pearl in your testimony. I believe it. You may not have liked the things that you've had to walk through. You may not have liked the suffering or the persecution or when you were wrongly accused or whatever you've had to face. And sometimes we can say it's the devil, but never mind that. I've come to say thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my life. And I say amen to you, Lord. Woo! Somebody needs to just stand up and say amen to the process. Thank you, Lord. Amen to the process. I'm coming out as pure gold. This fiery trial, I'm going to count it all joy, and I'm going to say amen, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm coming out stronger. I'm coming out in my purpose. This is pushing me to my destiny. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory to God. Somebody shout, God will use it. Year after year. Woo. Year after year, she went to the house of the Lord. Year after year. This is the mark of so many mamas. Come on, sweet mamas in the house. Know what it is to worship when you're wounded. Keep showing up. You know, you keep showing up, cooking. Cooking when you're hurting, when you're tired, serving. Though you've been at work all day, praying, even though you're carrying your own private pain. Sometimes you just have to keep on giving, even when you might be grieving or struggling yourself. But I'm here to tell you that heaven sees every year that you've shown up. Every time you've come when you've been broken. Every time you served when you've been tired. Heaven sees it. And Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Due season is coming, mama. Due season is coming for some faithful people. Due season is coming. You're going to see what you've been standing for. And I want to look at this part so much closer right here. The Bible says that Hannah got up. Something literally shifted in her. And there comes a moment in your life where grief and defeat has to move over because purpose is crying out to get up. You cannot stay seated in those moments. When it's calling your name, there's no way that you can stay seated. And that's why I believe that there is a divine get up in this room, because God has ordained his church in this hour. He's ordained his mothers. He's ordained fathers. He has ordained his church in this time that we live to get up. Hallelujah. He's calling us to get up. Hallelujah. I believe in this moment there's someone that is even under the sound of my voice. And in this room right now, there is something moving you from dwelling in your problems to begin to rise up and begin to dwell in his power. Woo! To say, I am no longer going to fulfill the enemy's assignment on my life, but I am paralyzing it because a divine getting up is happening in me right now in the name of Jesus. Come on. It's time to get up out of the disappointment. It's time to get up out of the shame. It's time to get up from the version of you that only survives. It's time to quit rehearsing what has hurt you. It's time to get up. Quit waiting for somebody else to validate you. It's time to get up in this moment. It's a posture shift that changes everything. She got up. The Bible says she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. And then she made a vow. When she got up, she prayed different. She wasn't in there, she wasn't denying what she felt. She wasn't in there denying that she was probably aggravated and couldn't stand Penina. Come on. Could you imagine what her prayer was in that moment that she was so radical with the Lord? I don't believe she was denying any of that. But what she was doing was she was directing her pain. She was directing it to the one who could heal her. She wasn't trying to numb it. She poured it out. Quit trying to medicate that pain. Come on. Quit trying to isolate in pain. Some of us, we just sit and become bitter in pain. No, we need to look at Hannah and say, I'm not doing any of that. I'm going to get up. Hallelujah. And I'm going to take it to the one who can deal with this situation. What Hannah did was she weaponized her pain in prayer. Woo, hallelujah. It got turned back on the enemy. Her agony got turned into intercession. Come on, we're a Pentecostal church. I recognize that language. She turned that prayer, that agony into intercession, into groaning. She began travailing in that moment. That's what Eli saw. And the Bible says that the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Sometimes there are times your prayers don't even have words, and you cannot even express the burden that you feel. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And the Holy Spirit begins to pray through you. Oh, we're moving towards Pentecost Sunday. It's going to be here in just a few weeks. We've already started it. I believe we had probably 30 plus people that got baptized in the Holy Ghost here at Freedom Encounter yesterday morning, and then many that were refilled. It was so powerful, and Pentecost Sunday is going to be incredible. You don't want to miss it. But as we head towards Pentecost Sunday, we remember how they were all gathered in that one place in one accord. And the Bible said as they were in that place, they had been surrendered to the Lord. They gathered together, and a sound, a rushing mighty wind came from heaven. Cloven tongues of fire set on them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They began going forth in power. They began bearing forth fruit that they had never bore before. They were afraid before the Holy Spirit poured out upon them. When after the Holy Spirit, they went forth in boldness. They began releasing miracles, signs, and wonders. And I believe that Hannah is even a picture of Pentecost, a barren place, becoming surrendered to the Lord, becoming a fruitful place. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. But watch what happened. This is so powerful to me. Eli spoke a blessing over her. He said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition." And then it says that she went back and began to eat again, and she was no longer sad. Now, that's incredible if you really think about what has just happened there, because nothing had changed. She wasn't pregnant. Penina was still there. Her situation had not changed, but we see Hannah changed. That sounds like somebody who went from crying about it to believing God about it. That's what I call a divine get up. That's what God's been doing in my life. That's what he's been speaking to me. And he said, this is for the moms. It's time for a shift. It's time for a posture shift. It's time for a divine get up in believing what I have said. Hallelujah. See, believing is the missing ingredient in many of our prayers. Because it's not enough just to cry about it and pray about it, because, oh, can't we do it? Oh, Jesus, you know what I'm going through. We're basically just giving like a complaining session to the Lord. But listen, it's not just enough to pray and cry. The Bible constantly reiterates that. Ask in faith with no doubting. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. He who comes to God must believe that he is. It's not that her prayer was worthless. Her crying brought her before the Lord. It got her to that place of surrender. But the transformation took place when her sorrow and her sadness all of a sudden collided with faith in that word that Eli spoke over her. I just see her in that moment. You know, her husband is telling her, "Well, why are you so sad?" You know, all that story he was telling her. "And I'm not better than 10 sons." And you see no response from Hannah. I just picture her. I could just imagine that in that moment, she's like, "I ain't got nothing else to say." Can you imagine? Like, I have cried all I can cry. I've tried everything I can think of. I've said everything that I can say, and nothing has changed. So I just need to get up. And she goes to the Lord. So it's not that her prayer didn't matter. That positioned her in that place of full surrender, of giving it all over to God. But what moved her, what shifted her posture, was faith in the word that was spoken over her. It was prayer and faith together. Prayer maybe it released her heavy burden, but faith, boy, faith filled her with expectation. The Bible said that she got up from there, and she was no longer sad. She had not been eating, but the Bible says she started eating again. I mean, everything shifted. She went from torment to peace. She went from heaviness to, they said her whole countenance had changed. Sometimes we stay in prayer, but we never transition into trust. We keep rehearsing pain before God, but we never receive peace from God. You got to rise up from the altar of prayer differently than when you came in. Come on. That is the posture I believe that God is calling and speaking to us today. That you rise up different, not because you see the answer, but because you believe in the God who heard you. She took Eli at his word. She took God at his word. She believed the word of the Lord like it was already done. In fact, I'm telling you, she did not conceive Samuel when she went home. She conceived Samuel when she was in that altar, in that temple. That's whenever she received and conceived. Hallelujah. Because she conceived in faith first. We've got to get faith again in what God has said. When we bring our needs and our requests to Him, we don't walk out of that place of prayer still in the same condition. You got to pray until you get a word from God. You got to cry until you get a word from God. And when you get that word from God, you better go in peace. You better put a smile on your face. You better begin walking like your miracle is already done. That's what God is looking for. That's what He stirred me up to preach to this house this morning. That it's not enough just to pray and cry. He wants some people who will believe Him with every fiber of their being and change the way they are walking. Hallelujah. Believe for it, mama. Has God given you a word about that child? Do you have a word in your spirit that He has given you? Then why are you doubting it still? Why are you crying about it still? The Bible says that Hannah walked out of there, that her whole countenance was changed. She was no longer sad. She picked up that fork and said, my, this is good food. I've been missing all along. Come on. She began enjoying life again because she found victory in the word of the Lord and she believed what He had promised her. Come on, we got to believe again. Somebody raise up your hands and say, God, help me believe. Help me believe in You, God. I believe, but help all my unbelief today, God. I fully trust in You. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, well, we got to trust Him. I go to physical therapy. Thank God for all the physical therapists. I never had to do that before. But it's awesome. I believe in it now. Hallelujah. But it's like if you go to physical therapy, imagine someone sitting in physical therapy every week saying, I want healing. I want to get better. I'm tired of the pain. I want my strength back. Then the therapist says, okay, then stand up. You say, no, I don't think it's working. All right? At some time, healing requires movement. At some point, you've got to put weight on what you say and believe. Woo. Hallelujah. Some things won't begin to change when you cry harder, but when you believe Him greater. Come on. Your child might be struggling, but get up in faith, mama. Your marriage might still feel strained and awkward, but get up in faith. Hallelujah. Stop only weeping over what is wrong and start laying hold of what God says can be made right. Ooh, tell your neighbor, believe. Believe. Because watch this. What a mother carries in faith, it can become the very thing that God births in due time. You see, Hannah birthed Samuel. The name Samuel is commonly understood as this word, heard of God. God has heard. She prayed because she needed a child, but God needed a prophet. It was due season. It was due time. She wanted a personal breakthrough, but God answered far beyond anything she could have ever dreamed. Samuel would rise in that moment to become the one who could hear the voice of God in that dark time. He would anoint kings. He would shift his nation. And listen, when surrendered mamas pray, when surrendered people pray, God sees even more than you see. He sees more than what you're even asking for. So never underestimate, mama, your prayers. Hallelujah. Because you might think you're praying over a child, but you might be praying for a preacher. You might be praying for a president. Come on, you might be praying for a missionary or a doctor. Come on, you might be praying for a reformer. You might be praying for one that will come in and break generational curses. Come on, tear down pagan altars. A mighty business leader, an inventor. You just never know. First Samuel said, Hannah said, I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and he has granted my request. Now I'm giving him to the Lord. Hannah didn't just receive that promise, but she consecrated it. She gave it back to God. And anything that God gives you, it's safest when you put it back in his hands, when you surrender it to him. Our children need mamas who'll say, Lord, they came through me, but they belong to you. I give them to you. I trust you. Hallelujah. This message is for moms, but it's also for every person in the house, because homes shift when one person will get that kind of posture right. It'll shift. It'll shift. One praying mother can change the atmosphere. Come on. One praying father can break generational strongholds. One worshiping teenager, come on, can ignite revival in a school. One praying grandma, come on. I love the legacy adults. One praying grandma can hold a whole bloodline together. Never underestimate the power of one aligned person in the right posture. Because just like natural posture affects the body, spiritual posture affects the soul. It opens the heart. Hardness breaks when you get in that correct posture. Compassion begins to flow. Come on. It opens up the breath, just like in the physical. The wind of the spirit begins to blow again in your life. It strengthens your core. That inner man stability begins to return. Ephesians 3:16 said to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Come on, when you get in proper alignment, it relieves pressure. What compressed you loses power. It changes your walk when you get in proper alignment. You move different when you're aligned. It restores that confidence, not arrogance, but authority. You know who you are in Christ. Now watch this. It protects future degeneration. Hallelujah. Alignment today preserves your strength for tomorrow. Glory to God. So on this Mother's Day, I prophesy over every mother, every woman, every father, every family, every generation that is represented. And I declare that there is a divine get up entering into this house, a divine get up in prayer, a divine get up in worship, a divine get up in faith, a divine get up in holiness. How about that? A divine get up in authority, and a divine get up in expectation. Woo, if you're expecting God to come through for you, give him a praise right now. Come on, you know what you're believing for. Give him a radical shout of praise if you're expecting him to move. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. And I declare that as you get up, everything that was closed barren. What was barren, you will conceive. What was delayed, it will move. What was tormented, it will begin to testify in your life that God is good. What mocked you will begin to make you into the very person that God has made you to be. Hallelujah. And as with Hannah, I declare that sons and daughters shall hear the voice of God again. I declare that Samuels are being born again. I declare that families are coming into alignment and that the Holy Ghost is breathing on dry places. Hallelujah. I declare that Pentecostal power and Pentecostal fire is being released upon surrendered vessels again in this house. And the church of the living God is hearing a divine get up, a divine get up. The church in America, the church right here in this place, a divine get up is happening in you. Raise your hands and claim it. Say, I declare that a divine get up is happening in me. It's happening in my purpose. It's happening in my faith. I'm getting up. I'm not going to cry about it anymore. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to rehearse it anymore. I'm going to get up and I'm going to believe that what God says is mine. I shall hold it in my hand. Like Hannah held Samuel, I'm going to hold my miracle. I'm going to see it because God has promised it. And if he said it, I believe it. I will have it in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I'm getting up. I'm getting up. My house is getting up. My faith is getting up. My purpose is getting up. My expectancy is getting up. Hallelujah. My miracle is getting up. Hallelujah. I'm taking God at his word. I'm believing what he said. I will see it. In fact, it's already done. I'm just waiting. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm stirring you up in faith this morning. Because that's what God said. He said, posture shift, posture shift, posture shift, posture shift. Believe what I've spoken to you. Believe what I have promised you. Don't doubt my word. Don't keep crying over it. Believe me. Oh, he's a big God. He's able to do what you cannot do. Hallelujah. Right now, I declare in this room, there is no more crying. There is no more sadness. There is no more defeat. There is no more discouragement for the things that have weighed you down year after year. But something is shifting right now in this room. This room, faith is rising up. Faith is getting up. Belief is getting up. My God, we trust you. My God, we believe in you. Whatever you've shown me, you will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. At the right time. Isaiah said, at the right time, God will do it. Woo! It says at the right time, God will do it. Somebody just begin to declare that. God, I'm trusting you. At the right time, you're bringing it to pass. Woo! In due time, it's coming. I don't even have to worry about it. It's coming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody give him praise right now. Hallelujah. I want you to give him a victory praise. I want you to praise him like what you've been believing for has already been released. Because your faith releases it. Your faith releases it. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I see it. Somebody begin visualizing your miracle coming forth. Visualize yourself holding that miracle. miracle. Visualize yourself receiving that miracle. And now praise Him like it's already done. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Somebody might need to dance on your defeat. You might need to dance over your discouragement. You might need to crush the head of some things that's been trying to swallow you up and bend you over. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Eli looked at her and he said, go in peace. May the God of Israel grant the request that you have asked of him. And she went from that place no longer sad. Hallelujah. She began to eat again. So I release you from this place this morning. And I say, as you go from this place, no longer sad about it, but expecting to see God move every which way you turn. Somebody give God praise today. Hallelujah. So if you're leaving this place today and somebody comes up to you and they're not smiling from ear to ear, I want you to say, get up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.
Honey, God, I want to tell you, it's so powerful what you preached today. Hasn't she preached amazing today? I want to tell you that we have seasons in our lives that we feel kind of like Hannah, don't we? We're there and we see nothing changing and nothing shifting. And we see problems and we see challenges. Nobody leave for a moment. We'll release you and bless you. But I found out in my life, and what we found out in ours, honey, is time and again, the enemy wants our problems to defeat us, but our problems actually are provoking us. The peninas in our lives, God is using those seasons. And I feel a divine relief coming. I don't know how to quite adequately verbalize what I'm feeling in my spirit. But there are some things that I declare God is lifting out of your life, maybe even some people and relationships. But it is a sovereign and supernatural thing. There's people that have been with you in proximity, but they've not been with you. See, Peninnah never wanted Hannah to bear a child. But Peninnah couldn't stop it when God said it was time. So, I'm getting up. This house is getting up and staying up. Come on now. Honey, I feel like you've ministered such a word to us today. Why don't you just finish it on off? But I feel something divine on your row right now. I never do this when she preaches. She just stirred me up so much. But I feel something divine coming into your house right now. Who needs something divine in your family? For your children? Talk to us, babe.
Amen. Well, even as he's talking, I'm reminded that there may be some in this room that maybe you haven't aligned your heart as making Jesus Lord and Savior. Maybe you haven't accepted him in that way. So if everybody would just bow your head and close your eyes, I think we could pray this prayer all together, because the most important alignment is that we are in a surrendered posture to Jesus Christ. So if you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, would you wave your hand at me? Anybody across the room this morning, you say, Pastor John, I would like to get myself that's so out of order in alignment, make him Lord of my life. Amen. So all over this room, will you just do what we do around here and put one hand on your heart, raise up your other hand. And this morning, will you just pray this simple prayer after me? With all those, say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I believe in my heart that Jesus died and he rose again for me. Today, Lord, I make you Lord of my life, my Savior. I surrender all that I am to you. I ask you to forgive me of every sin. Cleanse me and make me new. I receive you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Glory to God.
So slip up your hands. I'm going to sing a blessing over you today. Yes. How many of you believe in the blessing of the Lord?
Yes.
How many of you feel like God shifted something in your life because of the
Amen.
Word today? Hold up your hands, precious. Dawn and I love you so much. We're so thankful for you. We're living our dream, standing up here, getting to preach to you every week and getting to lead all these campuses. And it started in that little gym across the way all those years ago. Look what the Lord has done. Hey, and this preacher's just getting started right here. Come on, y'all. It's so awesome. Can I sing this over you? You ready? Just in advance, say, I receive it. Come on.
I receive it.
Okay, hold your hands up, precious. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. I'll say it again. I'm going to sing it a couple times. Receive it now. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn. We're singing the word. You're going to sing it over everybody in your neighborhood. Everybody in your neighborhood. Come on. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. Sing it over your wife, over your husband. Sing it over your neighbors. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. Now we're going to make it personal the last time. The Lord bless me. Come on, say it. The Lord bless me and keep me. Make his face shine upon me and be gracious to me. Give the Lord a great praise. I love you to pieces.